seated. What would you say if I ask you this morning if you feel like you're thriving? I mean, that's the word that we've chosen to come back to several times this year, the word thrive. And if I ask you if you felt like you were thriving right now, you might say, well, what part of life are you talking about? Because that can really vary depending on different parts of our lives. So you might say, well, physically, I'm not doing so great right now. I'm dealing with this health challenge, but you know what it's done is it's brought me to the Lord. And so I'm not thriving physically, but I'm thriving spiritually in a way that I never have before. Or maybe you're going through some challenge in one relationship in your life and others have strengthened. So we're constantly thinking through the areas of our lives where we're thriving and maybe are not thriving. And so that's why we're going to look at some of those different areas this year. We're going to think about thriving in our relationships and thriving in our work and lots of those. But right now we're building some foundation work. We're preparing for the rest of it. So we began the year and we thought about the fact that when we thrive, it's really when we're in tune with what God is doing. We're participating with God. It's when we value what's most important. And then last week, we started putting some building blocks on that basic foundation, and we talked about knowledge. And we talked about how what we think about transforms how we feel and then what we do. And so knowledge can transform us. Now, today I want us to take that a step further because we need to continue building this foundation so then we can think about thriving in lots of other ways. I think these particular things apply to lots of areas of our lives. Now, as we think about knowledge, my guess is we almost all know somebody in our lives who, like, they have tons of knowledge. They know stuff. I mean, there is so much stored up in their big brains that they're the people that if you go to a trivia night, you want them at your table because you know they're going to know a bunch of stuff that you've never even thought about. And so those are great people. But some of those people, like, they have all this knowledge, but it seems like they just don't know how to live life, right? I mean, they know stuff, but they don't know what to do with stuff. They don't know how to apply that. And so while we don't want to discount the importance of knowledge, and we talked about that last week, what do we add to that to help us thrive in a better way? And I think the word we're looking for there is wisdom. We need wisdom. And so what does the Bible have to say about gaining wisdom? How do we develop wisdom in our lives? And to begin with that today, I'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs again. As I said last week, Proverbs is filled with really practical knowledge and in some ways is like this manual for thriving in life. And it talks about lots of those different areas of life that we've mentioned, our relationships and our money and our work and all those things. But today I want us to think about what does it say about wisdom? And the truth is, we could look in almost any chapter in the book of Proverbs and find something about wisdom because it's a theme that runs all the way through the book. But we see a special focus on that in Proverbs chapter 4. So I want us to begin there today. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding." Now, what we see from the very beginning of this chapter is that we're going to see an interplay between sort of like a father and a son, and a father training his son and teaching wisdom. And that points to the fact that wisdom can be sort of passed down. We can give people wisdom through our words and telling them what we've learned from the life that we've lived. And that's certainly true in families. And families play a huge role in passing on wisdom. Now, sometimes that's fathers and sons, but mothers can certainly pass on wisdom. And grandparents can certainly pass on wisdom. Sometimes it's an aunt or an uncle that is the one that speaks wisdom into the life of a child, or even an older sibling, depending on how much older they may be. But we do share wisdom within families. And another thing we notice about that verse is that the word wisdom, well, it doesn't even show up there, but what we see is the word understanding. And if you read through the book of Proverbs, what you find is that wisdom and understanding are used almost interchangeably. I mean, they're almost the same meaning in this book. Now, maybe we could find a sort of a shade of difference between them, but the whole idea is this is how life works. And that really is what Proverbs is all about. It's more principles than promises, because we could find ways that sometimes there are exceptions, but generally the writer of Proverbs is telling us this is how life works. And if you follow these basic principles, life is going to go better. You're going to thrive. And here we have a father trying to teach a son how to thrive. And that continues in verse 3. The father is still speaking, but he says, "For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live.'" So most of us have had our fathers try to pass on some wisdom to us at some point or another, and many of us have also had the experience of thinking, man, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about, right? He's out of touch. He doesn't know how the world works today. And then maybe a few years later, we realize, well, he did know some of what was going on. He did get it. And many of us who are fathers have said, now, really, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you because this is important. And we felt like our kids totally ignored us. And maybe sometimes we've seen them suffer the consequences for that. And this father is saying, listen, if you'll just listen to me, I promise I've got some stuff to teach you. But you got to hear me out. And he's going to pass on some wisdom. So this is how it continues. He says this in verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. You see those two together oftentimes in Proverbs. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Now, what we see there in verse 6, and again, we see this many places in the book, is that wisdom is personified. It is talked about as if it is a person. Now, clearly it's not, but the idea is that wisdom is a character in this story. And if you pay attention to wisdom, if you listen to wisdom, then wisdom will take care of you. Now, what does that mean? Well, if wisdom is about understanding not just some knowledge and some facts, but understanding this is the way life generally works, if we listen to that instruction, if we listen to that understanding, what we find is that if we pay attention to the way life works, we can avoid some dangerous situations, some things that would threaten us physically maybe, but also threaten our relationships, threaten our families and the health of our families. And if we don't pay attention to that, we will face that danger. So wisdom in that way protects us from the things that would threaten us. But wisdom also gives us the ability to respond to danger in the moment. So sometimes things slip through, and here we are, and we're faced with a decision. How are we going to handle it? Wisdom is all about knowing how to make the right decision. And that too protects us. So we can see how wisdom is sort of working in and out of our lives, almost standing beside us, helping us face difficult times. So in that way, wisdom sort of stands with us, protects us, guides us. And then the next verse, verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. And I think that's sort of a funny verse, don't you? Like, here's the very first step to wisdom. Get out your pen and your paper, and I'm going to tell you all about wisdom. And the very first thing you need to know about getting wisdom is get wisdom. It doesn't feel very helpful at first. You know, it's like when you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you you need to lose some weight, and you say, how? And they say, well, you need to lose weight. It's like, okay, thank you. Now what do I do? But I think the writer of Proverbs is making a point. And we see it in the second half of the verse. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. So it's not just stating the obvious. The point is, you got to pursue wisdom with everything you've got, because it is so valuable. Because wisdom is so important for you to thrive, you got to choose wisdom above other stuff. You got to choose wisdom, though it cost all you have, because it is that valuable. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the pearl of great price, right? You sell everything you've got to get this, and that was the kingdom of God. Well, this is right beside it. I mean, the kingdom of God and true wisdom are hand in hand in this story. And so we got to make the conscious decision, I'm going to seek this out because it matters that much. And then he finishes the thought. And again, we're sort of thinking of wisdom as a person. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. If you want reward, if you want life to go well, choose wisdom. Seek it out, because wisdom will walk with you through life. Now, Proverbs is not the only place that the Bible talks about wisdom. In fact, we could find it many different places. But the book that I think is the most like the book of Proverbs in the New Testament, Proverbs in sort of right in the middle of the Old Testament, in the New Testament, the book that is most like it is the book of James. Now, Proverbs is written in poetry. James is written sort of in prose and paragraph sentence form, a little bit different there. Proverbs is written to ancient Israelites. James is written to ancient Christians. So there are differences, but they're the most similar because it is filled with very practical wisdom. And at the beginning of the book of James, we see him talk about wisdom. So what does he say? This is what we read. James chapter 1, the second verse. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And let's stop there just for a second. James is saying, listen, I know that many of you have chosen this path of following Jesus because you've heard about who Jesus is. And maybe some of you were Jews, some of you are pagans, and you've given up a lot to follow Jesus. And now you found out it's not easy. Some of them were facing persecution. Now, that might mean what we think of when we think of persecution, physical danger, maybe being killed because of your faith. Sometimes it was that. But sometimes it was financial persecution. Oh, because you're a Christian, I'm not going to do business with you anymore. I'm done with you. Or it might be emotional or sort of relational persecution. I'm not going to have anything to do with you personally anymore. I'm not going to eat at your house, and you're not going to eat at my house. We're done. So they face these kinds of trials, and they're wondering, okay, I've followed this almighty God that you've been talking about, this God in the flesh, Jesus, and it's not easy. James says, hey, that doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. And in fact, God can use it, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So keep going. And as you walk through these trials, this persecution, these difficult times, and maybe you're surprised that everything's not easy since you're following Jesus, even though that's all out there, listen, God is going to use this, and you are going to be stronger than you've ever been before because of what you're going through right now. Okay, and you're asking, that's fine and good. What does it have to do with wisdom? Next verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James says, if you really want wisdom, what you need to do is pray about it. Now, I don't think it's any accident that James begins this sort of section of his letter, the very first section, talking about facing persecution, facing trials and difficulty. And then he moves sort of naturally from that into talking to God, the God who gives you perseverance, to the same God about giving you wisdom. And I think part of what we're dealing with is that that James is saying to us, one of the ways you gain wisdom is by asking God to teach you wisdom in the midst of the trials. So not only do the trials result in perseverance, but if you're faithful to God, it can lead you to wisdom as well. But you've got to ask God for it. So what do we learn from these passages? I think it's that wisdom will, Wisdom from God will guide and protect us. Not just any wisdom, right? I mean, the world has wisdom out there, and some of it's good, some of it's bad. But true wisdom, this wisdom that the writer of Proverbs is talking about and that James talks about in the New Testament, this is what God uses to guide and protect us. And as we think about that wisdom, I think there's some real lessons for us to learn in the process. And the first is this: wisdom is more than knowing stuff. Wisdom is more than just trivial knowledge. It's more than gaining facts. It's more than even knowing stuff about the Bible. Now, none of that's bad. In fact, it can be really good. It's good for us to know what the Bible has to say, and it's good for us to know those stories and the interactions between people. We need that. We're not discounting knowledge, but wisdom is a step beyond that. Wisdom is understanding how to take all that we've learned and apply it to real life. To take these things that we've learned about the God that created us, the God who sent His Son, the God that we serve, and understand how that applies to the way I treat my wife, my husband, my children, my coworkers, people that I go to church with. Taking all that and knowing how it affects how I spend my money and do my work. Wisdom helps us thrive by doing all of those things in our lives, taking the knowledge that we have and then finding ways to apply it in our lives. So it's more than knowing stuff. Second, the ultimate source of wisdom is God. I mean, James is so clear about that. If you want wisdom, which James knew, I mean, James is an expert in the Old Testament. We see that all the way through the book. He knew about what Proverbs said about wisdom. If you want that wisdom from God, you got to talk to God about it. So James might say when the writer of Proverbs says the first step to wisdom is get wisdom, the place you get it is God. So if it's all about gaining wisdom, then we need to take it to God. And James is pretty clear that this is one of those things that God's not going to turn us down on. When we go to God and ask for wisdom, He's not going to say, well, I don't know. But because He loves us, and because He knows that that's one of the core things that we need to live the life that He's called us to live, God is going to grant that because of His love for us. And then finally, God can use our experiences to grow our wisdom. I think James links that for us. And I think we look at Proverbs, we recognize that the writer of Proverbs is saying wisdom can be passed down. Well, guess what? So often, the way that we gain wisdom is when we have experiences that we learn something from it, and maybe that's a success. I mean, maybe something is really successful in our lives, and we go, okay, I've got to repeat that. I've got to learn to replicate that. Not only in that area of life, but maybe in other areas of life. And so God, when we pray to Him, I think God can use our experience to teach us wisdom. But I also think God can use our failure to teach us wisdom. Because so often we learn from those failures. When we mess something up, maybe it's relationally, we go, you know what? That is clearly not the way that parenting should work. And most of us who are parents have been through those moments and thought, well, I'm not doing that again because that was a big mistake. And when we do that, and we do it in a way that sort of honors God, we're saying, I'm allowing God to teach me through this moment. And it might be that I can pass that on to somebody else. And that's why our testimony, our story is important to tell. And you may think, well, my story is not special. I don't have some grand moment in my life where God spoke to me in an audible, powerful way. So I don't have the story that other people have. Well, you may not have the story that other people have. In fact, you don't. But that doesn't mean God's not at work in your life. Because God may well have taught you lessons that people in your family need to know, people in our church need to know, because they can avoid some of the difficult moments that you've lived in your life by hearing the story that you tell and what you learn from that through the power of God that has given you wisdom. And I really believe God can teach us, give us, grant us wisdom by teaching us from our own experiences and from the experiences of others. Now, what we're trying to do right now is to learn the conditions in which we thrive. You know, we said from the beginning, we can look at a plant and usually tell, okay, is that plant thriving or is it struggling? You can just almost tell by looking. And the way that a plant thrives is we give it the right conditions, whether it's soil, sun, water, food, whatever it is. And we are creating the right conditions. We're orienting our lives around the kingdom of God. That was what we talked about to begin with. We're growing in our knowledge of this God, and we're growing in wisdom. As we continue to do those things, we're going to learn what thriving is at home and at work and at church and in the community. But as the writer of Proverbs says, the first step, get wisdom. Let's pray together. God, we want to be people of wisdom. Not just so we'll have that reputation, but so that we actually live life well as you want us to live it. And so God, we pray, just like James called us to, that you would give us wisdom. Help us to learn from every part of life, the good and the bad. And God, help us to be ready to hear wisdom from others and to pass it on when we can. And God, we pray all that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.